Before we begin our Torah study, let's pray together. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kidshenu B'Mitzvata V'Tzivanu La'Asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. I want to talk to you today about the faithful God who blesses. God is faithful, he's trustworthy, and you can count on him, you can depend on the Lord. He has promised to bless. And I want to ask you to join me in looking at the life of Isaac by turning to Genesis 26. And while you're doing that, I want to let you know that this weekend is the 11th anniversary of our international podcasts. And for 11 years now, we have been sharing our messages worldwide. We've reached something like 8.4 million downloads and feeds in more than 100 countries. So special welcome to everyone who's listening around the world. And special thanks to Philip Feller. He's a name I want you to remember. Say that with me, Philip Feller. And that's with an F on in both cases. Philip moved from Jacksonville to South Florida, and he asked us to send him CDs of all of the messages, and he would faithfully send in a check to our office, and we would not faithfully send him the CDs. It was just like beyond us to get everything organized. So he was patient with us, and one day he came back to Jacksonville, and he had a device we'd never seen before called an iPod, and told us about podcasting. And so we started a podcast so that Philip Feller could listen instead of getting CDs. So it was a grand vision of one. We had a desire to faithfully bring what was happening in the congregation to the Fellers down in South Florida. That was the extent of our vision. And now we've reached millions of people. And it just goes to show, do not despise the day of small beginnings. And don't think that you've got to always have a grand plan that you understand in order to accomplish great things. Sometimes a simple small step of being faithful in something can produce long-lasting and far-reaching effects. So we hear from people regularly around the world saying that the podcasts are lifelines to them. Many people are in places where there aren't Messianic congregations in their cities or even in their countries, and they connect with us. So we are greeting people all over the world today, and special thanks to Philip Feller. Phil, I hope you're hearing this when you hear right now. No, he can't be hearing it right now, but when he hears it, it'll be right now for him. So Genesis 26. There was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Avimelech, or Abimelech, as we like to say down south, king of the Philistines in Gerar. There was a famine. And you could really say, oh no, not again. You remember the Lord called Abraham to move from his land in the Fertile Crescent over to the land the Lord would show him, and when Abraham gets there, what happens? There's a famine. And you would think if God's leading you, it should go from, you know, from better to even better. Isn't that what we expect? And yet, in the case of Abraham, and now in the case of Isaac, it goes from tough to tougher. So if you consider yourself a son and daughter of Abraham and Sarah, understand this, it can include a life that goes from tough to tougher. But this life is not just random, it's not just meaningless. God's at work in this complicated world, in this broken world we're living in. Verse 2. So remember the context. There's a famine. Verse 2, the Lord appeared to Isaac. That statement is so powerful because it means that the invisible God made himself visible. The Hebrew is very clear about what it means. It's not talking here about a vision or a dream or a purely spiritual experience. It's talking about an otherwise inexplicable phenomenon, which is this: God, who is spirit, God, who is the invisible and eternal God, enters our time-space world and makes himself visible. He takes on some type of physicality in this moment. The Lord appeared to Isaac. The Lord became visible and present to Isaac, and the Lord spoke. Now understand this, without that physicality and presence, he can't speak, because the hearing requires sound, and sound requires physicality. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live." Those are hard words, aren't they? I want to bless you. Don't leave the land of famine. I want to bless you. Don't go somewhere safe. I want to bless you. Don't go where your father went when he had a famine to get through. Don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Let's say that together. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while. All of the natural circumstances would give evidence to Isaac that he ought to do the reasonable, the rational, the wise thing, and what's good for his family, really, would be get out of Dodge, go down to Pharaoh's land. Stay in this land for a while. And then here's the most profound statement: I will be with you and I will bless you. So God is saying to Isaac, you stay put despite the temptation because of the circumstances. Don't think that circumstances, including difficulty, define you. What defines you is the life you have with God. What defines you is that you're made in God's image, and so you're made to enter into this world and to bring good and a blessing to the brokenness of this world. Stay in the land, I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I'll give all these lands, and I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give them all these lands, and through your offsprings, all nations on earth will be blessed. What an incredible promise that God gives to Isaac. Through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, including the Philistines, including the Egyptians, including the Persians, who we can say including the Iranians, including the Iraqis, including the Afghans, the Uzbeki, including the Chinese. Can we go on? Including the North Koreans and the South Koreans. Well, how's that going to work? It's not really explained here. It's promised here. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars on the sky, and I will give them all these lands, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because, say that with me, because. Now we're going to get some understanding here. Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him. Why am I doing this, Isaac? Yitzi, Yitzchak. Why am I doing this? It's because of Abraham, because he listened to me, because he heard my voice, because when I appeared to him, it changed everything for him. And because he put into practice the very things that I told him to do. Do you remember what Yeshua said was the difference between the foolish person and the wise person? They both heard the teachings of Yeshua, the instructions of Yeshua, but he said one of them put them into practice, this is the wise one, and the other didn't put them into practice, this is the foolish one. He said the wise one is like the person who builds his house on rock And the foolish one is like the one who builds his house on sand. And both of them experience storms. If you're sitting with someone who you really care about, say, we go through storms here, not just because it's Florida, but because we live in the world. We're in the world that has storms. Yeshua told us there would be storms. And Yeshua said, the house of the one that's the wise person, the one that's built on rock, this house will stand. And he wasn't talking about architecture. He was using principles in order to illustrate life. And he was saying, the one who hears my words and puts them into practice, this is the wise one. This is the one whose house will stand. The one who hears my words but doesn't put them into practice, this one is foolish. And when they face the storms in life, one will see collapse and the other will remain standing. So this statement that God is making to Isaac is exactly in harmony with what Yeshua is saying to all of us. Abraham heard and put into practice the things that God told him to do. And that's why Isaac is being blessed. Just in case Isaac thought, you know, I am really good. I'm hot stuff. I am sharp. I am the best thing that God has on earth. I'm the blessed one. I'm blessed and sanctified. I'm holier than thou. If he thought that, God was correcting him. God was saying, it's not really because of you, it's because your dad was faithful. Your dad was so faithful, he told you about these things. He told you about me. And now you need to walk in the same blessing. Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. And so Isaac stayed in Gerar. Despite all other ways of thinking, Isaac allowed the word of the Lord to be the highest wisdom available to him. Now, I want to make a comment about blessing. Blessing is connected to a faithful relationship with God. Blessing is not winning the spiritual lottery. Blessing is not just getting what you want the way you want it. The blessed life is a life in service to God. The blessed life is a life of courage and of faith and of hope and of integrity. The blessed life may not look blessed to everybody else around you because they may be aiming for something else. They may be looking for something else. But the blessed life is the life that God gives. Now let's go to verse 12, still in Genesis 26. Remember, the context is there's a famine. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because he was the best farmer the world has ever known. No, because the Lord blessed him. He stayed in the land. You see, he was experiencing the blessings of God even while there was natural disaster around him. He was experiencing the economy of God, even though the world around him was going through untold difficulty. There was famine, which likely meant there wasn't rain, and it was hard to sow and to reap. But he sowed, and he reaped 100-fold. And the reason was the Lord blessed him. Verse 13. And this part is one of the favorite scriptures of the prosperity gospel, which I'm not proclaiming to you. I'm proclaiming something else, the obedience gospel. The blessed life is the life of faithfulness with God. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Now, who would be in favor of that in your own life. No one's against, right? No one would be against having more money than you knew what to do with. Unless you were to lose your soul because of it. Which isn't necessarily, it isn't necessary to lose your soul over money. You can lose your soul over poverty as well. And over envy and covetousness. Verse 14, he had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. And remember, this is described as being blessed by the Lord. So he's blessed by the Lord, and he's living in a hostile environment where people are envious. They want what he has. They don't want him to have it. And not only that, they would rather he not have water no matter what. When you stop up a well, it's not saying, hey, the water is mine. It's saying, you can't have it. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You become too powerful for us. I was thinking about this. At least it's better than what Pharaoh said. When he was envious of the children of Israel, he decided, let's kill them. Let's enslave them. So this is a more moderate position. I remember being in Russia once, and we were invited to meet with guys who were part of an ultra-nationalist fascist organization in Russia. The one who wanted us to meet with them was a journalist who thought it would make for an interesting story. And I remember asking him, who are these people? And he said, well, they're moderates. And I had looked into them. I said, I think they're extreme anti-Semites. And he said, oh, but they're moderate because they don't want to kill the Jews. They just want the Jews to move out of Russia. And that was considered moderate. So on the basis of that, we can say Abimelech was a moderate, right? We don't want to kill you. We just don't want you to live here. Verse 19, skipping down, Isaac's servants dug in the valley. They discovered a well of fresh water there, but the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac, and they said, the water's ours. And so he named the well Esek because they disputed with him. And then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also, so he named it Sitna. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it, so he named it Rehovot, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we'll flourish in the land. So he didn't give up. Do you see the perseverance? The man of faith, the woman of faith perseveres, holds on, keeps exploring, works again, digs again when necessary, and doesn't get stuck simply because of adversity or because of rejection, even hostility, unfairness, and so forth. And he's not having a crisis, you'll notice, about his relationship with God. This is the blessed life. If you were thinking the blessed life is something else, let me disabuse you. This is the blessed life. You will go through such challenges, and you will persevere, and you will bear good fruit. Verse 23, from there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him. So here's another appearance. I thought of calling this message the sudden appearances of the invisible God, or the reappearances of the invisible God, or even he's back. But I really wanted to focus on something else, which is the blessings of a faithful God. So that night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid because I am with you. Don't be afraid because I'm with you. You know, if you're ever going to be in a really difficult situation, you want to be with people who can handle difficult situations. The Lord says, you don't have to be afraid because I can handle this. So if you're with me, you'll be okay. Don't be afraid because I'm with you. I will bless you. I will increase the number of your descendants. Why? What does your Bible say? For the sake of my servant Abraham. Yeah. You see, the Lord is still saying, I can't forget how great Abe was. He was my friend. He was so faithful. I can't get it out of my mind. I love that guy. And so I love you, Isaac. And I promise things to him, and he deserves what I promised because he was faithful to me. He listened to me. I told him what the conditions were, and he did them. He did what I asked of him. And so I can tell you what, I'm still thinking fondly of him. That's why I'm thinking fondly of you. And if you can imagine how you feel about grandchildren, if you have grandchildren and you love those grandchildren. Does anybody have grandchildren they love? They're part of your family, and you're projecting the love you have of your own children onto these who are another generation further away. In the same way, God is saying, I love you because I love your dad. Meanwhile, Avimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuzzath, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. And Isaac asked them, this is such a straightforward question. Why have you come to see me since you were hostile to me and sent me away? Why do you want to talk to me? You were mean. And they answered. And I love the answer. In Hebrew, in Torah, often the use of theme words helps you actually recognize what the theme is. Theme words are words that are repeated again and again in a passage. And you notice that there were these descriptions of the Lord appearing. The Lord was made himself present and visible. And it's from the root word for seeing. The Lord could be seen. We could say it that way. The Lord could be seen. And now in verse 28, they say, we saw clearly. Now you know, this is part of what the Lord is wanting to do. He's wanting to make clear to us something. And here's the something. When he's with us, it's visible to other people. The presence of God may not be visible to them directly, but is visible to them through us. They can see him in some way because of us. And thus the metaphor, the body of Messiah, takes on real meaning. How does God embody himself now? It's with us. He uses you and me in order to make his presence known to other people. We saw clearly that the Lord was with you. I've read that many times, and I've sort of softened it a bit in my own mind. I don't know how you take it, but this week when I was reading it again, I read it with a fresh perspective, and I was thinking about this. How would I be if the Lord physically appeared to me and spent some time with me? I have the feeling it would be a great time. If the Lord physically appeared to you and spent time with you, do you think you'd be smiling? You'd be excited about life? You'd say, whoa, that was like the best day of my whole life. The Lord physically appeared. Well, that's what happened for Isaac. The Lord made himself physically present. I have the feeling that made an impact on him. When you try to explain the lives, the faith of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, if you soften the appearances of God and you just spiritualize them away and you think they had some kind of like otherworldly spiritual experience, it doesn't explain how they lived in the world in light of this. But when you realize that God actually came down and was with them, it changes everything. We saw clearly that the Lord was with you. And so we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let's make a treaty with you that you will not hurt us. Just as we didn't harm you, but always treated you well, and sent you away peacefully. That's his perspective, right? I know the guys filled up your wells with dirt. I know they argued with you. I know they threatened you. But honestly, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. Wrong. Whatever it was that they actually did, Avimelech is minimizing it. He's saying, do us no harm, we didn't do you any harm. Another way of saying it is, we didn't kill you, so don't kill us. But there's another backstory that's timely, and that is he can say, you know, we didn't assault your women, including your wife. And it would have been normal for us to do that. We're those kinds of guys. That's actually the story. If you read the text, Avimelech says, when you said she was your sister, one of our guys could have taken her to bed. Because that's what we do. That's what we do. We see pretty women, we take them. You know, you almost got us in real trouble, Isaac. Yeah, he learned it from his dad. And Avimelech learned it. He had some experience with Abraham. It's like, what is with these guys? But when you realize that the culture was such that they didn't think that it would be wrong to forcibly take a woman, then you understand something about the society they were living in. And then look at the last statement. You're blessed by the Lord. Now you're blessed by the Lord. So Isaac made a feast for them and they ate and drank. This tells us something that Isaac is willing to be kinder to them and show blessing to them beyond what they're willing to do to him. Isaac is not being reciprocal. He's being generous. He's being a peacemaker. He's being a blessing. Isaac made a feast for them. They ate and drank. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other, and Isaac sent them on their way, and they went away peacefully. That is a beautiful story. Now, I want to close with a comment that the book of Hebrews makes. You could call it the letter or the book of Messianic Jews, chapter 11, verse 20. Speaks about something about Isaac that connects Isaac with Abraham and Sarah and with all the great people who are identified there in this chapter. It says, by faith, Isaac. Say that with me. By faith, Isaac. And it makes this comment about a very difficult situation in Isaac's family. And that has to do with the birthright and the blessings. And you remember that Esau really despised his place in the family, and Jacob did not. And somehow, Jacob ended up with the blessing of the firstborn, It looks like it was by deception. It looks like it was by manipulation, but it was actually by something else. It was by the choice of God, that God had previously decided on his own that he was going to carry this covenant through Jacob, not through Esau. And though they were brothers, and though they had the same mother, they would not carry the same calling. But it says this, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Isn't that interesting? How did he bless them? If you read the story, you might come away with the idea that he blessed them by mistake. He blessed them by deception. He blessed them unintentionally. But Hebrews draws something out that may not have been obvious. It was by faith that he blessed them, by his trust in a trustworthy God. The blessings that God had given Isaac were the foundation of the blessings he gave to other people. You see, you can't give away spiritually what you don't already possess spiritually. If you don't have love, you can't give love. If you don't have patience, you can't be patient. If you don't have faith, you can't give faith. If you don't have hope, you can't give hope. If you don't have courage, you can't give courage. You can give what God has given to you. And that's why this idea, given it will be given unto you, is important, because it's built on the idea not of winning the spiritual lottery, but of being faithful with what you have and giving away what you have. And this principle Yeshua taught about, if you're faithful with a little, what? You will get more. If you're generous with a little, you'll get more. If you're faithful with what belongs to another, God will give you your own. Isaac learned to bless. He learned to bless other people. He learned to coexist and to survive in a hostile area. He learned to bless people who really weren't blessing him. He learned to bring the peace of God into situations where the people around him had no peace from God. And so he did with his own family. We could put it this way, Isaac trusted the Lord. And because of that, he was able to bless Jacob and Esau. But the text says it this way, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And that tells us something. He saw something about their future. He saw something about them, and he was blessing them according to the future that was being prepared for them. He saw something about God's specific plans and his purposes for Jacob and for Esau. He saw beyond their difficulties. He saw beyond their conflict. He saw beyond their character weaknesses and their flaws. And he saw that the hand of the Lord was at work. And so he blessed them. And maybe it wasn't the way that he had originally imagined it should be or he had wanted, but he recognized that God was blessing him and God was blessing them, and he needed to give his blessing. So the same God who blessed him, this is the one who gave him power to bless his sons. That's what it means when it says, by faith, Isaac blessed. By faith, he blessed. It doesn't mean he had wishful thinking, or he decided to gloss over everything or pretend. It didn't mean he was trying to make lemonade out of lemons. It meant he saw something God wanted to do. How does faith come to a person according to the scriptures? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes because Isaac had an encounter with God that changed his understanding of everything. It changed how he perceived things, how he was responding to things. And he used his power to bless his sons. Let me ask you a question. Did they need help? They sure did. Do you remember the problem pregnancy of these boys? There are two nations in there. They're at war with each other in the womb. It would have been easy to say, you know, I want to die. It could have been Isaac's response to say, you know what? Kids, get them away from me. He could have felt like it was a four-alarm disaster. But he had a positive attitude. Even with the conflict between his boys, remember what the Lord said to him? Your descendants are going to be so many. Now, if you had troubled kids like this, you'd probably say, thank the Lord, I only have two. But the Lord said, no, you've got to see beyond. You've got to see what I see. Good's going to come, but you'll have to bless them for them to have what they need. See, sometimes we get lost in the difficulty, the sorrow, and the hardship, and we pray against those things, but we never pour out blessings that change everything. When you bless someone with peace, you know what you're doing? You're spreading the shalom that you have into them. What if they don't have peace? They need it. And you can bring it to them. Well, what if they're cynical and you bless them with soft hearts? You have the power to bless. Did you understand this? You have the power to bless. You can go to God Almighty, to the Lord Most High, and you can say, Lord, show me what they need and let me bless them. Not according to your power and not according to your wishful thinking, but according to the faith that God gives you. And you can bless people with the very thing that they lack. You can speak words of blessing. You can pray words of blessing that will convey something to them. You have to understand this. When the patriarchs would place their hands upon their children and bless them, they understood something was happening. There was an actual conveyance of spiritual blessings onto those who received the blessing. It wasn't just religious ritual. Do you get that? There was a powerful transformation, and there was a transaction where what one had was conveyed to the other. The anointing, the call, was conveyed. The faith was conveyed. Now, it may take a while for it to come forward and to develop and to mature and to bear good fruit, but it certainly will. Even if it tarries, it will come forward. And so I want to encourage you to do something. Maybe you've got children who need blessing, and their idea of what the blessing is may be really different from your idea of what the blessing is. In that case, still bless them with what you know to bless them with. Not according to what they want, but according to what they need from God. If they don't have faith, start blessing them with faith. Start praying over them and saying, Lord, you are a faithful God and you want to save us and our households. Bless my children with faith. Bless my grandchildren with faith. Bless them with faithfulness. Bless them with shalom. Bless them with generosity. Bless them with provision. Bless them with kind hearts that want to share with others. You start blessing them like that, and God will use you to give them what they need that way. So use your power to bless. And when you do that, you show yourself to be true sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah. Because they were blessed and they were a blessing to other people, including their children. Let's close. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are faithful to us and you bless us. And we pray that we would be faithful too, and that we would spread the blessing, we would share the blessing. I pray, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our heart and you would enlighten us about how we can bless our own families, how we can bless our children and our grandchildren, how we can bless our spouses, how we can be a blessing to our siblings and our parents and our extended family. Use us, Lord, so that by faith we might bless them. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? And if you're standing by yourself, just move enough so that you're not. Find someone to stand with. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone.